Good afternoon, and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And I'm Steve Hunt. And today we'll be talking about Perseverance Theater's production of An Iliad.
And here to talk about it, we have Boston Christopher, who's doing it entirely by himself, I believe, and Art Roach. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. And I should start out with that I don't do the play entirely by myself. I do speak all of the words, but there's also something we call the musician, and that's played by Lucy Peckham, and she accompanies me on cello, and she arranged and also created and, I guess, composed about half of the music in the show and then arranged the rest of it. So,
but
you do, you are the one.
I am the sole actor
on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about how that works.
Well, it's just me on the stage. it's a play that was written by Lisa Peterson and Dennis O'Hare. And it was created basically through them kind of improvising, sort of distilling down the Iliad. So this one's called An Iliad because they think of it as a version. And it sort of, they took it back to the genesis, really, which is sort of storytelling by a person who would be a singer or a singer poet, and they would sing this song back in the day, and it would take days, and they'd either accompany themselves or they would have accompaniment, and so they wanted to go back to the roots of that, because the Iliad we know as a great piece of literature, but actually it's an oral history. It wasn't written down till I think it was 500 years or something after it began being told. And so they wanted to go back to that and find that sort of that really creative art form of storytelling. So it's a story about the Iliad, but it's also a story about storytelling and how a story gets told and the structure of a story. And the poet, I play a character called the poet, and he has a point of view, a very strong point of view about certain things that are mentioned in An Iliad, and he basically is compelled to wander through time and witness all of the wars and sing this song to audiences. And tonight, that night, when he's telling it to this audience, he, in a sense, breaks a little bit. He kind of goes off script a lot and talks about things and brings it into a contemporary context so that the audience that he's talking to can kind of relate to the story that he's telling. There's a few good examples of that. Like, one I can give you is he relates the frustration of standing in the supermarket line and how the other line is moving faster. And do you switch lines now? Well, no, because I'm stubborn and I'm staying in this line because I've been here 20 minutes already, so I'm not going to move. So it's sort of an examination of our attraction to violence and you know, the frustration that we get as human beings and how we relate that to others.
Which, incidentally, is really what the Iliad's all about.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I have to admit here that I went through a long period of time when I was in my 40s and 50s in which I read everything about Greek philosophy and Greek history and the Iliad 3 or 4 times, and so
good for you. Not many people can make it through that book. It's a slog. So it's interesting how they took this story and distilled it down into about an hour and 40 minutes, and they took 24 books and they composed it into 7 parts, and sort of, and they really focused on the relationship between Achilles and Hector and their sort of you know, battle.
Part of what I think makes the play, sort of inspired the play, makes it possible, is a relatively new version of the Iliad in English by Robert Fagles, and it's just a fantastic, very readable version. It's still long, right? So the play is a great way to get the story in a short time, and the play captures, you know, Achilles, Agamemnon.
What's the name of this author?
Fagles, F-A-G. Yeah, I would love to hear what you think of it, because it's considered a significant work of scholarly accomplishment, this new translation of it. And it's he achieves the verse really, really well. And
he
you get
does.
To hear a
he
lot
does.
Of that language.
That's wonderful.
You get to hear Boston do a lot of that language in the performance.
Christmas
too.
Present.
Yeah, I highly recommend the book, yeah.
Now, Art Roach, who's just talking about this book, you're the director of the show. And Boston mentioned something a moment ago about how the poet gets involved in it personally, which is something different from storytelling in the sense that often storytellers are detached. But Boston, you're saying that your character has a personal interest in this story,
mm-hmm.
which is the basis of acting, mm-hmm. of a character. So how have you combined the idea of storytelling and a character with Boston and creating the story on stage?
Well, he's kind of a witness, I think. And you know, having just talked about the written version of the Iliad, the mm-hmm. thing to remind ourselves is that for probably 500 or 600 years, it was only spoken. It hadn't been written down. And much of the account that's in those, that account of the legendary 40 days of the Trojan War, probably historically is a variety of military encounters, not just one war that was fought between the ancient Greeks, the Mycenaeans, and the Hittites in that part of Asia Minor. But so this is a sort of oral tradition, and it was passed down from one storyteller to another. And then eventually, when the written language was up to it, I suppose, it was written down and then has become a literary work as well. So what's, I think, brilliant about Lisa Peterson and Dennis O'Hare's decision to try and make a new play out of it is they didn't employ a playwright, they employed an actor. So the two of them, it's a director and an actor that made this script, and they made it on its feet and then wrote it down for us. So it went back into the written or into the spoken and got off the page again, and it becomes something entirely new and entirely contemporary, but also has, you know, those great ingredients of that ancient story. All the greatest hits are in there. So working that out, you know, we were inspired by that process and just tried to figure out who this guy is and imagined him as someone who, I suppose, had seen all the things that he talks about, which are the events of the Trojan War, as well as many things that have happened since then. Imagine some kind of a journalist or observer who's lived for 3,000 years and has seen all kinds of things happen, not just what happened in Troy.
This is Stage Talk on KSKA. This is Jean Paul with my co-host Steve Hunt, and we're talking to Boston Christopher and Art Roach about their production of An Iliad, which opens tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Boston, we talk about storytelling, and at this time, often people look at these stories as just being history. Mm-hmm. But they're political as well, aren't they? And you bring some of the politics of these stories to present day in your storytelling of this, or do you?
I think yes. I think there is some of that. I would hate to say the word politics, but that's why I use the word, I think I use the phrase point of view. Because I think there's, I mean, I think he points out, I think the poet character points out a lot of our failings in some way. I mean, that's what theater's about, right, is to sort of hold the mirror up and sort of say, why are we like this? What do we do? There's one moment in the show where he says, we like to think of ourselves, not me, I'm not like this. But then something happens, some trick in our blood. And, you know, rage happens. And so it's sort of like, how do we find that? And then how do we eventually let that go? How do we find a way to let that go and find the humanity, the empathy that we can have and the compassion that we can have as human beings? And so I think it's not so much political of who's right, who's wrong, but it's really about what are we as human beings and how can we present ourselves in the best way possible?
That's a good point, because I think politics is maybe the wrong word, because today politics has gotten this idea of being one against the other, as you mm-hmm. said, but actually is more just about the human condition. And I think that's what you're saying about these mm-hmm. characters getting
absolutely.
Into the human condition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the music. And now we go back to the Greeks. We know that one of the elements of drama that Aristotle wrote about was music that supported the storytelling. How does the music feed into this play? Art?
Well, the those old storytellers, you know, before it was written down and after too, I suppose, would often have music accompany them. They would play it themselves or have a musician. And the script calls for the poet to speak for the muses or ask for the muses. It sort of calls upon them to help him begin to tell the story as he is going to slog through this thing, you know, one more time after 3,000 years of telling the story of rage, right? It has some kind of effect on him. So we felt that bringing music in would be really a helpful way to do it. And Lucy Peckham, who's a local musician, composer, and theater sound designer that Perseverance works, she's my go-to sound designer. I really admire her work greatly. Her primary instrument is the cello, which is an instrument that has been used in other productions, and just called her up and said, would you do this show and would you play it as well, as design it and write it? And she agreed. So it gives us an element of the feminine on stage, which is really helpful. And it gives us an instrument, the cello, which has a range that's really broad. And it's almost like another human voice on stage. And she provides sound effects as well as underscoring and has scored it really beautifully. Most of the influences are not Greek, so the sound is old, but not quite as old as that. She's drawing on some European composers who have, say, for example, Hungarian folk tunes as their inspiration, and some more recent composers that are regional to the Pacific Northwest. It's got a great sound.
And it sounds amazing in the Sidney Lawrence. It's just the reverberation of it and, you know, my voice and her cello playing, and it just, it's this really beautiful sound. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's the cello has always been my favorite instrument because it's so much like the human voice,
right?
And a woman's voice actually, and that it, and so that would work beautifully.
Yeah, it helps us play off of each other. I mean, she really is sort of a scene partner in a lot of ways, and. Yeah, it's pretty great.
They have a wonderful relationship, and it's a beautiful looking instrument too.
And and one more thing, I know we have to probably end soon, right? But I just wanted to say this, that when we were talking about this sound design, we didn't want any other instruments. We didn't want any other sounds. So all of the sounds in the show come from the cello. So not only does she play music, but she plays some sort of sound effects using the cello. So it's a pretty, it was fun to sort of invent those and find those things in rehearsal.
Lucy's cello, by the way, was made in Anchorage by John Osnes, a local maker. Fantastic.
Unfortunately, we're about out of time.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to say thank you to Boston Christopher and Art Roach, who are opening the Iliad tonight.
Absolutely. It runs from tonight through November 2nd.
Thanks for being on Stage Talk.
Thank you.
And now here's a Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to the community calendar on alaskapublic.org.
At Cerritos Theater Company, you can see Henrik Ibsen's play Hedda Gabler, featuring Anya Wyndham as Hedda, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Anchorage Community Theater's production of Bell, Book, and Candle by John Van Druten continues until November 2nd. Performances are on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday at 3. Tickets are available at centertix.net or call 868-4913.
Valley Performing Arts is presenting The Canterville Ghost, based on the short story by Oscar Wilde. Tickets are available at 373-0195 or visit valleyperformingarts.org. And it will be running October the 17th through November the 9th.
Synesthesia Artists Collective presents The Rocky Horror Show until November 8th at Mad Myrna's. For more information, visit the Mad Myrna's website.
And finally, Perseverance Theater of Juneau is in town presenting their production of An Iliad, written by Lisa Peterson and Dennis O'Hare, running from October the 24th through November the 2nd. For more information, you can contact ptalaska.org or call 263-ARTS.
Thank you for being with us today on Stage Talk. We've been talking to Boston Christopher and Art Roach from their production of An Iliad. Until the next time,
I'm Steve Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.